Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our family online. Welcome in the room. I want to, again, just extend a special greeting to our visitors. Pastor Rick and I look forward to meeting you out on the patio after service. We are continuing in a series called The Resurrected Life. It was a series that caught us a little bit by surprise as a series because it started as the Easter sermon and the Holy Spirit was like, no, you're not moving on to what you were going to do. I need you to pause there. I want you to break that out a little bit. I want you to work through that. So last week, we started obviously on Easter with there is one starting point for the resurrected life. And that starting point is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that in the resurrected life, we don't want to just stop at forgiveness on the cross because a lot of times we get stuck there. Forgiveness on the cross is awesome, paid the way for our sin, gives us eternal life. But there's an empty tomb and a resurrected life that ushers the kingdom of heaven to earth through God's people. And that's what we're about. Last week, we celebrated the Lord's table, the sacrament of communion. And we did that by really looking at the description of a thriving, living, resurrected life church in Jerusalem that we see in Acts 2 and comparing it with a very toxic church in Corinth that Paul was writing to straighten them out, and how the hearts in both those places came to the same table with very different effects and impacts, and who we want to be in that. And we learned that when we come with glad and sincere hearts, when we repent, when we judge ourselves before God rather than judging others, when we come with glad and sincere hearts rather than the division and jealousy that we saw in Corinth, then we experience favor, not judgment at the table. We experience wonders and signs and not oppression and illness. We experience not death, but the resurrected life at God's table. And so that was a wonderful celebration. As we move forward with this series, as we look at the resurrected life, I got to tell you, as we look through the book of Acts at the resurrected life of this New Testament church that was birthed, we cannot do that without backing it up and learning about the Holy Spirit. Making sure we really understand, because, by the way, the Holy Spirit isn't a thing, he's a person, so I don't know why we say Jesus and the Holy Spirit instead of just Holy Spirit. I'm not sure. Sometimes we call him the Holy Ghost. Like, there's all these things. But I want us to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. He is part of the Godhead, three in one. He is not Casper the Friendly Ghost. He is not a genie in a bottle who will drop his power wherever you ask for it because you said it the right way. See, this church is a relationship. It isn't a religion and it isn't a cult. We don't have incantations that we speak to usher God's power. We simply lay our hearts before the Lord. The Holy Spirit, if raise your hand if you grew up in church at all. Okay, so a lot of you did. The Holy Spirit is not a dove on a flannel board. Can we get past that? Like, it says he descended like a dove, but y'all, we have this little, like, butterfly picture. The heavens open up. The Spirit descended down, and a voice boomed. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit is not a flitty little thing. Okay? The evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives are the fruits of the Spirit. Peace, patience, joy, love, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. Look, I got them all. I wrote the two. I tend to forget when I script that out. I'm just saying. But I got them all. But that's the evidence of the Spirit at work in our life. If we don't have that, then something's not right in the relationship. We'll get to that in a future sermon. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit are incredible powers and wonders and gifts. But those are the manifestations of the Spirit so that people on this earth can see the glory of heaven. They are important, yes, but they are not the Spirit's purpose in our life. As I look around the room, I wish I could peer into your living room. Some of you think that I do. I don't. But I can almost see who grew up in congregations where we only talk about the Holy Spirit where it's in Scripture because it's scary and freaky. And I can almost look and see who grew up in a Pentecostal, yeah, bring the fire, bring the Spirit, and everything in between, y'all. It's okay because we're going to stay rooted in the Word. And we're not going to talk about all the things today because, like, we would be here till dinner time. But we're going to start with the purpose of the Spirit that's outlined by Jesus. Can I tell you, even as pastors, man, we want to skip to the power. We're planting a new church. We want the power of the Spirit to descend and open up and transform lives and change all these things. But see, it doesn't start in the power. And yes, the power of the Spirit is more than we can imagine. It's the power that raised Christ from the dead, and we have access to it. But that's not the purpose. The power is exciting as we look at the New Testament church. You cannot look at the church in Acts, which chronicles how our church started, and not see the Spirit literally stop Peter and Paul both in their tracks and say, nope, go the other way. Raise people from the dead, do all kinds of stuff, and not get excited about the miracles and healings and visible manifestations. But we have to understand that if that is what we are chasing, we are doing God an injustice, and we will never actually experience the relationship in the Spirit we are supposed to have. Can I ask, have y'all ever had, don't raise your hand, especially if they're with you, have you ever had a friend, and you start to realize through the friendship, they're kind of only there for what they can get out of you? Like when you're serving steak, they show up for dinner. But when you have a potluck because you're running low on cash and you want to share a meal, they're busy. Or you got the promotion at work, so they like hanging out with you when the boss is around. But when the boss isn't around, they're busy somewhere else. In high school, they're the ones that if you've got the influence, they're there. But when your car ran out of gas, because you know you're a teenager in high school, they're nowhere around. Anybody ever had a friend like that? How did that feel? It didn't feel good to me. I don't think it felt good to you. Some of us have been that friend. We've matured past it. It's okay. If you haven't matured past it and you're realizing that is you, that is okay. We're going to talk about how you change that with the Holy Spirit, and it's all good, right? But how about we not treat God like that? Because can I tell you, first of all, public service announcement. Some of us take a while to figure out when that's the friend, like that's what's really happening, because we're a little EQ challenged. But we serve an all-knowing God, and he knows the second you show up, the state of your heart, and if you're in it for him or what you can get out of him. Because the Holy Spirit is not someone who wants a bunch of groupies chasing autographs, like so infatuated with him that we never actually enter a relationship. He doesn't want a predator that just wants to consume. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit absolutely doesn't want a parasite that just wants to suck all the power out? Yeah, they're like, that's pretty harsh, Pastor Jen, but is that not what we see sometimes in churches? Let me just get all the power. Don't mind. There was no peace, joy, or patience when I was getting ready for church with my family this morning. I know that's nobody in this room. I live life with you guys, right? But I do believe there's a lesson in it. So I want to establish that chasing the power of the Spirit is a dangerous thing. But the Spirit's power is phenomenal and amazing at work for the kingdom. And we'll get to that. That's in a couple weeks. But I want us to anchor in the fact that that's not his purpose in our lives. And how do we discover the Spirit's purpose in our life? What's the Holy Spirit here for? Why did Jesus promise him? Well, we want to look at the words of Jesus to understand that, right? Like straight to the red letters. Whenever they're there, it's a great place to start. Like you kind of can't go wrong. And I want to tell you, we're going to look at a couple different passages, right? Pretty much all from the book of John. And I want to start us in probably the one that is the least physically tangible and then tell you guys we're going to get through that. We're going to unpack it a little bit. And then for my type A's in the room, we'll have some practical things that we can absolutely concretely apply. But just like relationship with God, it's not about the head, it's about the heart, and that's where we need to start. So I want to invite you to read with me the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." See, Jesus said this is really all about new life. And without the Holy Spirit, all we have is a new take on religion. Because Jesus said, not Pastor Jen, Jesus said, we can't see the kingdom and we can't enter the kingdom without the Spirit. And can I tell you, Jesus didn't come just for a rebranded version of the Jewish faith. Like, it was more than that. Jesus came to usher the kingdom of heaven to earth with us as its citizens. And the rebirth to that citizenship requires that we are born in the Spirit. And some of us are like, well, how, I'm kind of like Nicodemus sometimes. Like, can you explain how that works? But it's an issue of the heart. And I want you to consider this. At creation, God formed us, right? And then but when we were formed, we were still just a thing. And then God breathed the Ruha Spirit breath of life into us. And suddenly we were. The same Spirit breathes new life into us in a new covenant in resurrected power. There's this really interesting passage that is often overlooked in John, and I kind of anchor here when I start with, you know, this whole concept of being reborn and the Spirit breathing new life into us. And Jesus is meeting up with the disciples. It's after his resurrection, but it's right there, right after his resurrection on the first day. John chapter 20, starting in verse 19, says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders," because they were waiting to be executed and crucified. That's not in there. I added that. "Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side." So in one of the other gospels, this is where doubting Thomas comes from. "Show me the holes in your hands. That's when I'll believe." Jesus shows him. And it says the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And in this moment, like, what does Jesus do with that? Celebrate, I'm here. It says again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Did y'all ever catch that in that passage? I know the Holy Spirit doesn't indwell them until Pentecost. I know we've got days and weeks before we get to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But before Jesus could even commission them to the resurrected life and the ministry of the kingdom, it says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Spirit." The same Ruha breath that God started us with, Jesus continued. And so as we look at the actual role of the Spirit, not the benefits and the powers and the fruits, but the role, the first thing that I want us to understand is that the Spirit births us into the kingdom. When we say yes to Jesus and open our hearts, see, that's the difference between a proclamation that's all words and a declaration of our heart. When we come with an open heart and proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior and accept him, then the Spirit literally brings us to new life through a birth into the kingdom. I know that's a little hard to grasp, but it shouldn't be hard to celebrate. It shouldn't be hard to anchor on. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit should be so important. And if I'm honest, a lot of us spend more time celebrating our rescue pet's gotcha day than we do celebrating our own gotcha day into the kingdom. Celebrating our relationship, because you don't have to remember the day. I don't remember the day. I can tell you what happened. I was a kid. But celebrating the relationship. We okay, church? Good stuff? How about we celebrate? How about we give an amen and a hallelujah because we are reborn as believers into the kingdom? And also an amen and a hallelujah because it all gets more tangible after this. Because the rest of what Jesus teaches us is pretty instructional and straightforward. Now, we're going to read from John chapters 14, 15, and 16 from, not all of, nobody panic, it's okay. But it's in one conversation that Jesus is having, one time frame. I want you to understand, we're not cherry-picking verses here and there. This is all in the time frame where Jesus is talking to his disciples after the Last Supper and before Gethsemane. So we're in a couple hours of conversation. And I want you invite you to read with me John chapter 14. We're going to read verses 15 to 18 and then move on down to 25 and 26 because those are the parts that pertain to the Holy Spirit and his role. Are we ready? Yes. Good reading voices? Yes. Online, are you setting down your bacon and your coffee to read with us? Yes. We do have spies. I'm just kidding. No. All right, let's read together. If you love me, keep my commands. Pause. This is Jesus, God talking. He doesn't say if you fear me. He doesn't say if you respect me. He doesn't say if you obey me or want to use me or want to gain from me. He says if you love me. This whole thing is all about relationship. All right, let's try that again. I won't interrupt us this time. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Will remind you of everything I have said to you. These are Jesus' last hours on the earth before he is crucified. And he is reassuring the disciples and he is preparing them for what happens next. And he says, hey, y'all, this is who Dad is sending to take care of you. This is how you will have access to him. And here is what his purpose in your life is. Jesus said he is the advocate. He calls him that three different times in this passage. He is the advocate. The Greek word for that is paraclete. Paracletus. Now, we make a joke, and it's a little shallow, but if it helps you remember, it's one of the few times I will go shallow, okay? If you are an athlete and you are on a field, you need a paracletus to help you get your grip, to stand your ground, to get traction, to move forward. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our paracletus. Paracletus? Anybody? Laughter? No? Okay. Visitors, I really don't do very much cheesy, but that one has helped me remember the role of the Spirit a lot of times when I start to falter, or when the fight gets difficult, or when I need to take a little ground, and I remember that he is there to help me dig in, to help me stand, to help me not fall. Paracletus actually means a legal assistant. It's one who acts on another's behalf as a helper, an advisor, or an intermediary. The closest thing that we have to this, what the Greeks were talking about, is if you have ever had a minor in court and they're dealing with things, whether it's foster or adoption or there's something happening, there's a divorce, there's competing parties fighting over the child, and the judge appoints a guardian ad litem. and the guardian ad litem doesn't care about anybody else. Their job is to be the champion for that child. Their job is to look out for the best interest of that child. Their job is to know when, even though going with mom or dad over here might be more fun, going over here is a healthier environment for them where they're going to experience more growth. The guardian ad litem's job is to speak, to advocate, to coach along. God has appointed us a guardian. And sometimes we're like the 5-year-old stomping our feet because we want to go that way. And he knows that's not what's best for us, but that's okay. I'm going to stick to my notes, or we're not going to finish today. Jesus said he is the Spirit of truth. The Holman Bible Handbook defines that as a truth which characterizes the nature and mission of the kingdom. The Spirit testifies to the truth of God in Christ and brings people toward that truth. The Holy Spirit's role is also as our companion. You're like, well, Pastor Jen, it didn't say companion in that passage. I don't see that anywhere. No, Jesus said he is going to be with you, which means among you, and he's going to be in you, which means dwell within us forever, always. If that's not a companion, like that's the kind of companion you actually want to have, because there's a lot of relationships in this world that are temporary. And God says, no, I'm putting one in your heart that is going to be with you, that's going to walk with you, that you're going to walk in relationship with always. Remember that really toxic church Paul was writing to in Corinth? We talked about last week. The one that had, were dining with demons before they came to dine with the king. Yeah. Paul is writing to them in his second letter. They're still all messed up. He is still writing to bring them back into right living. He is not writing to reject them. He is still encouraging them. And it gets to the very end, and they have all these problems. Paul prays for 3 things in the letter. He prays for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to be with them. He prays for the love of God to be with them. And he prays for the tremendous power of the Holy Spirit to be, no. The fruits of the Spirit. No. He prays that the fellowship, which means the companionship of the Holy Spirit, would be with them all. See, that was what was going to fix everything that was wrong. That is what rights the ship. It's not the benefits. It's the purpose. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit is koinonia, the act of sharing activities or privileges of an intimate association or group, especially in marriages or churches. In other words, community, fellowship, participation, intimacy, communion. So as a staff, every Tuesday at staff meeting, we do high-low for Sunday service, right? What was an area we need to work on and improve, and what was just a great, tremendous thing that happened? And for a lot of us, and we're supposed to stick to our area, but we don't listen very well, and sometimes we talk about the whole service. And last week, as we examined our hearts and we went through what it was like to come to the table the right way, with the right heart, the Spirit in this room was so true. The Spirit in this room was so authentic and genuine. It was so humble and in tune with God. And that is the kind of communion that the Holy Spirit wants to have with us consistently. You know when you get that news? Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe you just got fired. Maybe you just got reprimanded. Maybe your spouse cheated on you. Maybe your child is sick. I don't know. But it's that news where you're just scared to even speak it. You don't want to tell anybody. You don't want to confess. Maybe you just slipped up and got a DUI. Maybe you did some other things wrong. Maybe it was somebody else. But whatever it is, slipped up. That makes light of that. It's not light. It's intentional. Maybe you made a mistake and got a DUI, right? But it's that moment where you're like, I don't know if I can tell anybody this. And Jesus is saying, that's what the Holy Spirit is for. He was with you in the moment, and he's in you, and he's there to help you work through it, and you don't have to be afraid because he's not there to judge and condemn. He's there to counsel and advocate for you. I think the problem in this relationship, I won't say the problem. I'll just ask a question. Because to live among us and dwell within us, that means to be at home, to be comfortable in our hearts. And I had to look in the mirror of my own self this week and ask, how often do I welcome the Holy Spirit like my bestie roommate? And how often do I treat the Holy Spirit like he's maybe overstayed his welcome? Or maybe he's getting a little too into, like, don't go in my bedroom. Don't go in my closet. Don't get in my checkbook. Don't. And Jesus said, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to be in all those places, to advocate for us. He said to help us, not to bully us, not to hurt us, not to judge us or to condemn us, but to help us and to teach us. That's his other purpose, to teach us, not to command us, not to hold it over us, not to lord it over us. Think back to your favorite teacher. I have two that come to mind immediately. What did you love about them? A lot of times our favorite teachers aren't even in our favorite subject, right? You read a Teacher of the Year write-up, it's never that they had the greatest academia and the best classroom discipline. It's always that they had this thriving relationship that made their students passionate about what they were teaching. God could have said the Holy Spirit is a commander. Like Jesus could have said, there are so many military examples in Scripture that they use to paint a picture of different things, but he didn't say he's your commander. He said he's your teacher. And he's going to remind you of all the things I've taught you, not chastise you or condemn you. Sometimes it'll bring conviction, but it'll never bring condemnation. Church, how often does something go wrong? Our lives go a little sideways. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm going to go back to me 28 years ago. My life was a train wreck. I had dipped my toe into church. This is before I met Pastor Rick. I had dipped my toe into church. I got a little too friendly with somebody, got in a relationship I shouldn't have been in, and I was pregnant. Do you think I'd dip my toe back into church pregnant? I will never forget, I was stationed, y'all are like shocked, like God redeems and restores everything, okay? But San Angelo, Texas is a really small town, like what, 35,000 people? If they count skunks, or they never take dead people off when they die, they just keep them on for 100 years no matter what. I think that's kind of why they had, because they used to have this sign, 35,000 people. We were all like, no, not even. This little town, and I'll never forget walking about 7 months pregnant into the coffee shop, it was a sandwich shop. And I saw people from the church I hadn't been to since I got pregnant. And I just started to cry, and I went to back out the door because I was ashamed. That is not God. That is not the Holy Spirit. That is the voice of the enemy trying to keep you away. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what God has taught us. What has God taught us? That he loves us. That we are blessed, chosen, accepted, redeemed, and forgiven by the blood. Yes, he has taught us how to live rightly. Yes, it was conviction that needed to fall on my life so I could get my act together to live the abundant life God had for me so I wasn't hiding in the coffee shop 7 months pregnant, waddling around in an Air Force uniform, right? The Holy Spirit is there to remind you that you are loved and chosen, and how to walk into that abundant life. And sometimes we avoid church and we try to avoid God who's dwelling within us. Can I tell you that doesn't ever work? But anyway, I tried it. Maybe you were smarter than me. I'm not sure. But I want us to understand that a teacher and an advocate and a counselor is the difference between, you idiot, how could you screw up again? And somebody putting their arm around you and saying, come on now. I know it's hard in this moment. I know some things have gone really wrong. I know you're scared. I know you're ashamed. I know whatever. But I'm going to walk beside you and with you. And I'm going to remind you how we get. I'm going to show you the door. I'm going to help you get out. That's what the Holy Spirit is for, y'all. That's why we need to celebrate God's Gotcha Day with us. That's why we want to understand his role, because the gifts and all the manifestations are awesome, but they aren't the purpose. The purpose is freedom and life and love and acceptance. And you're like, well, Pastor Jen, that's great, but how does he do all that? How does he teach us? How do we, you talk about in your devotions, I have people, you talk about in your devotions, God spoke to you. Is it an audible voice? No, I have never heard an audible voice. Some people have. Anyway, a couple years ago, I was reading this great devotion, and I pulled this quote. I want to share it with you. It's a devotion called Who is the Holy Spirit? And Switch, who is a music, anyway, help me out, Chris. Yeah, he's an artist, music artist. That's what I was looking for. And he said, Chris is like, I didn't read this devotion. What are you talking about? He said, sometimes the Holy Spirit sounds like thoughts in your head. Sometimes he drops a mental picture. Other times he gives you a dream that just feels different. But most often he speaks by illuminating parts of the Bible, reminding you of a verse you've read and helping you to understand it in a new way. Church, will the Holy Spirit bring us power? Absolutely. Will the Holy Spirit drop a prophetic word into our hearts? Sometimes we're going to talk about that verse in a couple weeks. Yes, he will lead us in new directions. Absolutely. Will the Holy Spirit manifest himself through signs and wonders and gifts? Yes, sometimes he will. Always in gifts of some sort, sometimes in signs and wonders. But his purpose, church, in our lives is relationship and instruction. We good? Can I tell you, it is the best relationship you will ever have. Do we need a little seventh inning stretch, you guys? You okay? Visitors in the room, I was in the military a long time. Guys is a gender neutral term for me. It is not just talking about men guys, okay? We're all guys. All right. So let's keep reading. Because Jesus goes on in John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. I'm going to read it to you. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus goes on post-resurrection, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power, we'll get to that in a week or two, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we see that he will testify to us and to others and help us to be God's witnesses. I want us to understand this. All spirit, no word, you blow up. All word, no spirit, you dry up. I have a pastor who taught me that for many, many, many years. Without the Spirit of God at work in our lives, we will be ineffective as God's people. Because the Holy Spirit empowers the church to bring God's kingdom of heaven to the world. And we got to understand that the Holy Spirit's role is, yes, to teach us and to be in relationship with us. But the Spirit's role also is that the Spirit testifies to us and through us about the resurrected life in Jesus. Are we good? Do you know if you're not surrendered to the Spirit, your testimony isn't testifying? Just a thought. I better move on. It got really quiet in here, Pastor Rick. John 16, 12 and 14. Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Can you imagine sitting with Jesus and him saying, I got so much to tell you, and girl, you can't even handle it? It's what he says. Maybe not girl, guys, actual guys, apostles. Anyway, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, not some of the truth. We are limitless in our knowledge and our wisdom and in what we can learn. There is no ceiling when it is the Spirit we are surrendered to who is teaching us. Jesus says he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. That's that prophetic word. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Here's the bottom line with all the things and all the different, because the Holy Spirit is the one who hovered over the waters to make the Grand Canyon like amazing. All the powers, all the gifts, all the manifestations. He will glorify me. He will teach you, Jesus said, and he will glorify me, Jesus said. The Spirit's purpose is to edify us and to glorify Jesus. Some of you have come to me, you have walked into churches where you are just plain straight up freaked out by something that occurred. Not uncomfortable, not being stretched, because I'm not, I do believe in signs and wonders. But you are freaked out. The Holy Spirit will never lead someone to do something that glorifies themselves. The Holy Spirit does not lead us as Christians to glorify ourselves or to edify ourselves. The Holy Spirit edifies or teaches, grows us up, and points always to Jesus. And with all that comes the rest. When that relationship is right, then the fruit and the power and the gifts are natural overflows and outpourings of that relationship. When we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, our roommate bestie, instead of making him feel unwelcome. So I just want to wrap it up with this, like, if the Holy Spirit is our advocate, are we recognizing his authority and heeding his advice? Like, you ever see the drama show on TV where they're in the courtroom and the lawyer is going, shh, and the person is like, but blah, 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 and they get themselves hauled off to prison? Like, are we recognizing the Spirit's authority and heeding his advice? If the Spirit is our companion, are we present for the relationship and creating space that is welcoming rather than resisting what our companion is trying to teach us? And as a teacher, the best curriculum in the world, with all the right classroom tools, the best teacher in the world cannot ensure a student's success. So I am confident in the Holy Spirit's role as teacher, but sometimes I have to check how my studenting is. Am I studenting well? Am I putting effort into listening and following the instructions that I'm being given? Because those things have to be in order for us to move on to the really exciting Spirit-led, Spirit-indwelled New Testament church that we read about in Acts. So the bottom line, church, today is this. Am I allowing and inviting the Holy Spirit to fulfill his purpose within me? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? And are you welcoming him, allowing him, and yielding to him so that he can actually fulfill his purpose? Amen. Chris, would you come and pray for us, please?
Thank you, Pastor Jen. You know, I think some of the best moments of my life are when I am in tune with the Holy Spirit, and you're really listening to Him. And I'm always reminded of a time where I had some friends over. We were in a worship band together, and we were trying to write songs, and they were just staying over for a couple weeks. And one of the singers had lost an earring early in our writing session, and it kind of just got thrown on the ground, and we had no idea where it was. I mean, we took an entire evening to look for that, right? Everybody down, like, with magnifying glasses, trying to shine lights, trying to find this thing. And it was like a couple weeks later she had come over, and she had asked the Holy Spirit to show her where the earring was. And I'm telling you, like, she walked right over, she bent down, and she looked, and there it was. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's not just, He wants to make everything better. The Holy Spirit wants to make everything better to the point where you feel a prick that you're supposed to buy a coffee for somebody or help somebody on the side of the road or know that your wife needs more Kleenex because the allergies are terrible, right? Just something like that. So it's not just a you and God thing. It's God making every aspect of your life better. So I want to pray for you guys that you get to know what that's like. So let's pray. God, just thank you for the ability to be so in tune with you. And thank you for the words that you gave Pastor Jen for this series and for this sermon today. I pray that you show everyone in this room what it's like to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them very clearly this week, throughout the week, at work, at home, and just make their lives easier. And I pray that they will follow your word and your instruction, and that everything that we do will be for the betterment of your kingdom and for us. And we thank you. Amen.